I hate medical school. I've been in therapy every year of medical school, and it's been a miserable experience. And I think I didn't start reflecting about what made it miserable until I met somebody who started PA school this year. We were dating for a couple days, weeks, I guess, by that point. And finally, I was just asking him, like, why did you pick PA school over medical school? Like, what a stupid idea that was. And he was like, well, because I wanted to be a person. And I was like, oh my God, that's so true. Medical school ruins people, and I wish I could, if I could go back in time, I would still have done it, but I would have done it differently. I would have intervented myself sooner. I joined a book club a couple months ago. It's a feminist book club in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. They're the weirdest group of ladies I've ever met. They're so fun. We have so much fun. I feel like that's one of the things that saved me from a lot of grief during medical school. Recently, I was sitting in the dean's office thinking about an evaluation that I had, and I was preparing for my application to residency, and the dean was like, you really need to honor this class. And I didn't. And I gave it my all. Really, I thought I did. I thought I did everything I could think of to do well in this course. And sadly, it's like the field of medicine I really want to go into. So I was thinking, like, I would go home and I would read and I would think about my patients. And I was doing all the things that I thought a good doctor should do. And I didn't get the grade that I, quote unquote, needed to get in order to graduate, or to graduate and do well in residency applications. And I was pretty disappointed. And he also gave me my dean's letter, which they draft for every student that applies to residency gets a dean's letter. And at the end, it gives you, categorizes you into what percentage of the class you fall in. And I was the bottom 20% of my class. I just felt so down, and the more I thought about it, the more I like beat myself up, and I was just like, oh, I'm digging a hole. I'm going to jump to the bottom. It's going to be more than 6 feet. But after talking to Joey, who I was explaining, you know, you're right, you do lose yourself in medical school, I just started to realize that I don't care that I'm in the bottom 20% of my class because I'm a person. Like, if going to book club and not spending 2 hours studying is means that I'm going to be at the bottom of my class, but I'm going to laugh for once in a week, I'm happy to do that. Nobody told me that before going to medical school. I think I feel really cheated in that regard, that you're not going to laugh. All of your interactions with patients, their families, the nurses, the physicians, the residents are critiqued. They're all part of your grade. If somebody sees you having a bad day and you say one mean thing to one person, or somebody reports you, or somebody thinks you're, quote, inappropriate, unquote, game over. That could ruin your rotation. You can be, you know, written up to the dean. There's no bad day. Every interaction is critiqued. And it's done in such a way that you just learn to be so plain. During my second year, I took a month off to study for step one, which everybody does. And during that time, I thought I was studying at home. I thought I was doing well. I had a study schedule. And then I got a phone call that my friend had passed away. And this was my girl. We were supposed to work together. She had just graduated medical school in our hometown. And she just had such a positive light about her. And she was someone who, unlike me, who just kind of floats from community to community and tries out new places and likes auditioning new things, she wanted to put down roots, like, from day one. And she was just going to make it awesome. And unfortunately, she died, really unexpectedly. And, you know, I was in the middle of studying, and I just felt like, I don't know how to describe how you feel when your best friend passes away, but it was pretty eviscerating. Like, you don't know who you are for a minute, and then you don't know how to breathe. And then you wake up at the bottom of your shower and you are cold and you're angry and nobody tells you that it's okay. They tell you, go back to studying. And I think that was really a part where I was like, this is not the field I want to be in anymore. And then you look at your debt, and you look at your education, and you realize that there's nothing else for you. There was no support. Not that I knew where to look at that point, but there was nothing there. When I found out it was 5 o'clock in the morning, her parents, she had a brain bleed that had gone undiagnosed. And then she was dead within 3 days. So her parents posted something on Facebook, and I had quit using Facebook for a month to study for the boards, per her request. Bitch. I was like, she knew. And I, found out later, friend of a friend, that they had decided to disconnect and weren't going to keep her on a ventilator. She wouldn't have wanted that anyway, but I called a friend to come over, and she was a really sweet person, but I think at that point I also realized, like, we weren't friends. We were people that hung out after school because there was such, like, a strong need for human contact, because it was such a demoralizing and dehumanizing experience to be in medical school, but we had not made any substantial connections, and she wouldn't give me a hug. And it was so weird. And she's not a touchy-feely person. I guess I shouldn't have expected that, but it was so foreign that I was like, I'm laying on the floor and you don't know what to do, so you went to Panera and got me a bagel, which I love a bagel, but no. So it was definitely telling that not only was my school not going to know what to do with me, not only were there no resources locally, like therapy or whatever, that I could go to, I had no friends in the area that I felt really knew how to react to someone with such a new loss. And I didn't know what I was doing, and my friends didn't have similar experiences that they could go, my quote, friends, unquote, that they could go back and think on to relate to me. It was horrible. And I think at that point I really grieved for a while. I mean, I still do. It sucks. It really sucks. I'm trying to think of ways to actively talk about it in a positive way, because I put it in my interview essay or my residency essays, and people are going to ask, and I'm going to have to be able to say things positively. But it's not easy, because it really manifested a lot of things, how poorly medical school makes us relate to each other. We're supposed to be getting better at it, and we're not. And I wasn't a patient. I was a friend, theoretically, to these people, and I could say now I probably safely have two friends in medical school. And they're people that I would say are definitely friends, as in they're not always looking out for what I'm doing next and competing with me. I started to find other things to do locally. Like, I hike on the old rail lines. They've turned them into trails, which are really beautiful in the area. And I'm trying to just stay involved and go to yoga and do things in the community. I think if you have that, I think if I continue to have that, it'll save me. But I'm going to be a doctor that's just different, and I'm okay with that. I really like hematology, so people with blood disorders. And one of the things that I was disappointed about in my medical school, amongst many things, is that sickle cell anemics are just called drug addicts all the time. And it's a really awful way to, like, just describe an entire patient population who, frankly, like, we know has an advanced disease that does cause significant pain all the time. Like, starting at 6 months of age, sickle cell anemics can begin to have pain crises. So yeah, when you're 36, like, it's not unreasonable for you to be on an advanced pain regimen, because you've been experiencing pain daily for the bulk of your life. And there's a difficult, well, from what I've read, there's difficulty in transitioning from pediatric patients into adult, and these patients get lost in the shuffle, and their pain regimens become complicated, and they're kind of just scoffed at and kicked out of the ER. And their needs are not addressed in any sort of constructive way to make sure that they're managed well long term. And I love a drug addict. And if you're a drug addict because that your disease made you that way, or if you're a drug addict because you took advantage of your disease position, or if you're a drug addict because I made you that way because I mismanaged your disease, the end result is the same, and we have to work on it. You know, and I don't mind that challenge. I'll talk to you 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, whatever it takes, and see you as often as I need to get you on the right path. Like, I don't believe in this quick medicine where you just see script out the door. I mean, that's why we have complicated psych patients. That's why we have patients with diabetes that are still getting wounds. So I just think I would like to do that kind of care. I want to be somebody who can be relied upon to not just get aggravated with their patient's chronic conditions and kick them out the door. You never know what somebody sits with, you know? Mm-hmm. And I try to remember that when I walk in the room with my patients now. Like, you just never know who has had a sudden loss yesterday or who has a tumor that they just got diagnosed and didn't tell their family about, or who has, I don't know, a little boy at home who has autism or who has been abused when they were 10 and has never told anybody. You never know what people sit with.
Inside Stories is an oral narratives project that catalogs the stories of medical students during their journeys through medical school. The podcast is hosted on In Training, the online magazine for medical students. Visit us at in-training.org/inside-stories. Inside Stories is a founding member of Vocalis, the podcast network for medical students. Please listen to our partner podcasts at vocalisnetwork.wix.com/listen.